I'm Miss Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I have two fabulous, wonderful guests for you today, that two people that are a real treat to me, and that are living, shining examples of dreams come true, of living a miraculous life full of compassion and joy and creativity, thinking outside the box and creating goodness and upliftment for all life with that. Marlise and Rosa, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Iris.
We're here.
Thank you.
Oh, good. I can hear you really well, but when I'm talking, there's an echo. And you know, my phone died by a drowning accident a couple days ago, and I got a new phone, and it's a little weird. So, also, I want to apologize for being late. Don tried to get me three times or four times before he did, and so I just apologize for the technical difficulties and take total responsibility for them. And you guys, I just don't even know where to start with you as an introduction. Marlise, you're a German abstract artist.
Yes, I'm a German abstract artist, and I call myself now a trans-expressionist artist. That means, maybe Rada explains that so wonderful. Okay, let him explain that, Iris, to you, please.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
Now, go ahead, Iris. We hear you fine, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say, I want to introduce both of you first before we go into that. And Rasa is, boy, I just have to tell a story about the first time I met you guys.
Oh, okay.
You, the two of you and Bastian came in to Joanna Cherry's. You presented me with a beautiful CD of your beautiful starseed music that you create together, the three of you. Mm-hmm. And Marlise introduces, bright and shining as the sun, she says, "This is my husband, Bastian, and this is my lover, Rasa." Your reputation had preceded you. And I thought, you know, what a great blessing you are in that way, because there's no strife between any of you. There's totally the truth. There's a sweetness in sharing, and there's also of looking to see how the three of you can make beautiful music for the world together.
Mm-hmm. It's true. We make music for the public, and starseed music it's the most unusual music I've ever played, I believe, in that we're not really performing for a typical audience. It's a kind of meditation music. And that harmony that we find in the music really comes out of our relationship. And, you know, I've known Marlise for a long time. She's one of my oldest friends, almost 40 years now.
Yes.
And, you know, we started playing music together. I'm a sitar player, and she plays tambura, the traditional accompaniment to the sitar. And we played, you know, so many years ago and developed a style that was so soft and comfortable, and in fact at that time I didn't speak German very well and she didn't speak English very well, and we were in Germany and not really talking a whole lot. So we would sit down and play music together, and sometimes I would sit and play sitar while Marlise was painting. And then years later, when Marlise and Bastian came to America, the three of us were playing, and Bastian is just an amazingly wonderful synthesizer player. And, our relationship sort of grew slowly in the beginning, what was that, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
And the three of us developed a kind of security and a trustfulness that I have to credit most of it to Marlies, really, that one woman can actually be with two men is pretty astounding. I'm not exactly sure how she does that all the time, but I know there's a lot of compassion and wisdom involved in that, and both Bastien and I learned a lot from her in that regard. But that led right into this harmonious music, if, you know, I have to say so myself.
Well, you know, it's always amazing to me, like, what you've accomplished is so much different than what you usually see in the world, which is sort of like a somebody done somebody wrong song.
Right.
When there is sex outside of marriage, and I think that's why so many religious orders have forbidden sex, because people used it for discord and unhappiness and lying, you know, mm-hmm. instead of being truthful and loving and compassionate.
Right.
And you know, what you see in the world so many times is sexuality used for something else than love, and it never ever works if it is.
Right. I think we all yearn in a way for this divine love, and we think we find it somewhere in a partner or whatever, you know. And in the end, we all, either I experience this, you know, especially living with two men, okay, the love, the sexual attraction and all that, is at first, this brings me together, and then comes suddenly, when the heart opens up, suddenly comes this feeling in, okay, we are all connected. This has nothing to do with sexuality or attraction. This comes pure from the heart, and the heart is always connected to the highest source, whatever you call it, you know? God, the highest source, Mother Divine, I don't care. It is this highest, but we are through this with everything connected. And to realize this, I think that this is here going on at the moment on the planet, Iris. Even we see a lot of war, destruction, this. But I see this with my neighbors, with friends around the world. The people get more compassion. They see more what is wrong. They understand more what they shouldn't do, and really this goes around the world now, and I think this is so important. And I think what I see, especially on the younger generation around 20, 30, even 40, they are in a way the vegan people. They don't kill anything anymore, animals for anything but they use, and this is, I find, very interesting, because I'm since over 40 years vegetarian and became a vegan because through this, you know, thinking about, okay, we are vegetarian, we don't kill animals for food, but we still use milk, this, and when I hear, how the animals are suffering, even for us to give us milk or butter or whatever it is, you know, then it's really the best to become a vegan, you know, and realize that this animals part of our whole planet here, part of our whole life, you know, and like the trees, like everything is so connected, you know, and I think this is, you know, the animals for people, you know, what we all see around the world, what is going on, people dying, I don't know for what, for nothing really, you know, for greed, you know, just greed, you know. I think that is that faces all, you know, and that has to stop, you know, that really has to stop all.
Iris, this makes me think of when I first met Marlies. We were really good friends, really from the beginning, and later when we started our relationship as lovers, we had this feeling that we didn't want to hurt each other. We didn't want to possess each other. And there was a sexual attraction, but there was really a feeling that I felt that I really needed to respect her freedom. And she felt the same, and Bastien felt the same. I know that when Bastien and Marlies were married, their agreement was not to have a possessive relationship, but to grow and help each other grow spiritually, which meant that they had to allow the other person to experience their life as it unfolded. And when the three of us came together, we were already in the state where they had years of marriage, where they were respecting each other on a very high level, I thought. I was astounded when I saw that. And then many years of a friendship that I had with Marlies, where, you know, as an abstract painter, if she isn't free, she can't be an abstract painter. And I love her art, and I've always loved that expression she's had. And actually, my music has been informed a lot by her artistic expression. My music is very abstract and free as a sitar player. I don't play any more traditional Indian classical style. And, you know, you've listened to our starseed music. We're not very traditional in that classical
in
style.
Any way. In any way.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay.
But you're not traditional in any way.
It was that kind of respect that we all had for each other's space and freedom and where we were each growing. And, you know, we all loved the other person's being and the way they were being, not just, you know, not just how they acted, but who they really were inside. And we really wanted to protect that wonderful soul inside the other person. And so the three of us just gave a lot of space, and we explored what came out of it. And from that, very quickly came Starseed Music.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. And, you know, I feel like where I get a little tongue-tied for me is in the introduction, and I feel like I haven't finished introducing either one of you. But
go ahead, then we find out who we are.
Yeah, I'm excited about what you do and what you give and your expression, and then... And I just sort of go off on a tangent here, but I want to say, Marlies, you are also an author, and you have a new book coming out. What is
yes.
the name of that book? What is the
name,
of the book?
The book is My Life From Now to Now, A Housewife's Spiritual Journey.
If there's anything I wouldn't describe you as, it's a housewife. And that
I have to agree with that, but I helped Marlies to write this book. We sat down just over a year ago, and we spent hour after hour after hour here in Massachusetts in the tower in my house overlooking the Berkshire Mountains, beautiful setting. And she started out by writing in her computer in German and English, half German, half English. And then she was reading to me and then reciting, and then I was rewriting in English. It was a long process. And I learned so much about my old friend. I've known her all these years, but really learned so much more. And one of the astounding things I found out was that as a young woman, she was trained in this very German tradition where people go to school to learn a profession, and young women at that time went to school to learn to be housewives. And she really went to school and learned to be a housewife. She had an apprenticeship after that where she worked for a family, cooking and taking care of the children and keeping the house. So she really became a professional housewife. And as we were working on the book, we realized how much more and more that spoke about who she is as a person and how she takes care of herself, and when you see her house, you see how orderly the house is, but how clean and how everything is in its place, not you know, in a way that's so extreme, because you see that abstract artist effect also, where everything is flowing in a kind of looseness. If you look at Marlies's paintings, you see that as well. But I know what you mean. It doesn't sound right to think of Marlies as a housewife, but...
I think Journey, described in the book, my life. It's really my life from now to now. And it is a spiritual journey from the beginning. And in my young childhood, I was really very exposed to wild flowers, meaning I had a very strong sensitivity with colors and singing. So I sang a lot as a child, especially through the wartime. You know, I was born in 42, and so we had war, and through singing and picking flowers, you know, this color therapy, I think that helps me a lot through all this wartime abuses, hunger, despair, all this losing the daddy, losing the whole family, blah, 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 you know. And then I really, through writing the book, I realized how wonderful this wave was where I was on from the beginning. Coming into this world in complete chaos and lost and death and blah, and blah, and then coming slowly out through life experience, you know, in deepest and highest form, and finally becoming an artist and study this for a while and blah, blah, and then my spiritual journey, you know, but is, I think, the most what is now still going. Of course, we are all on a spiritual journey, you know. And for me, this is more and more transformation, more and more realizing that we are the creators, you know, that we are the creators of our own destiny if we have the power. And like you said, you know, miracles happen, dreams do come through. We can give that in. Yeah, and I think in my life, I had a lot of miracles.
Well, yes, you have, and one of them that I'm thinking of is, you know, I used to think only St. Francis could go up to animals and have birds light on them and have the deer come up to them and the wild animals, and people can see on the web your Deer in the Yard video where you and Rasa and Bastian pet the deer and give them massages and communicate with them, and that is a miracle. I mean, that's it, to me, knowing you guys, it just seems every day now, but it used to feel like only St. Francis could do that. And
in a way, yeah. I mean, today the world is much opener, so we can see over the internet on YouTube how a human with animal now interacting and, you know, playing and talking, and you see these animals, you know, if they are wild or pets, that they really have a soul, that they understand everything we say before we even say it. You know, they know all.
And you know, I've noticed that they understand German and English.
I understand. She's very intelligent. Eva is a very intelligent. I mean, I see all the different characters over the years, and Eva is a very intelligent, good-looking, and photogenic being, you know, really a being, and she's there, and when I make a photo or a movie from her, she's really present, you know, and tells me, here I am, you know, and show what I can do.
Well, you know, I feel like there are emissaries from the animal world that are giving people information. You are a part of the hologram, and you are changing the hologram. Mm-hmm. Eva is part of, that's her mission, to change the hologram, the way people treat deer.
Yeah.
And I have to say, you know, I have had the 5-star French restaurant gourmet garden for the deer. In my area, and I've gone through a whole process with them, and I you know, I've I've planted things on the fence, so that side is theirs and this side is mine, and I've had them break through the fence and eat everything, and I've had them just mow down everything. I've tried to make deals with them. I've fed them, you know, a little ways away from the garden, and I've gone through a lot of things with them. But I feel it's been also with feeling that they were there before me.
Right. Yes. And that is exactly in my place, you know, when I bought the house, the deer were already there. You know, somehow, though, when I moved in, then immediately Mama Rose, she was the mother of the herd, and she came immediately up without any... at first she was watching us in the distance, and then she came up, and I couldn't believe it, you know. But so the deer, actually, I learned really to be very soft, you know, so soft as I can be with my voice, how I say something. When I say in the morning, you know, when I go out and greet them and give them something nice, when I just come out and want to greet them shortly, they don't take that. They are so sensitive. They feel, okay, I don't have enough time, so I just do that fast. They don't like that. They want full attention in a very loving way because they are such unbelievable gentle animals, gentle beings, you know. And, so over the years, I really learned their behavior and respect them. And sometimes I'm a little rough with them when I take Hansi's antlers and shake his head and say, you can't be always dominant here, you know. So that is, they are just wonderful.
Yeah, Iris, well, it's a little different than any animal experience I've had before. And I know that, you know, we live in a world where so many people have pets, and I think the pets adapt to living in a human world. And we've received so many letters, especially since we started putting photos and videos up on the internet, from people wondering about our relationship with wild deer. And, you know, some people are concerned that we're changing the deer or habituating them to human beings, so then they go out and it's not safe for them when they come across hunters. And I think
it's not safe for them anyway.
So they have a mind of their own, that's for sure. But what we realize...
they don't go up to the hunter and say, okay, I'm here, shoot me, I like humans, you know.
What happened with us was that they really agreed to befriend us.
Right.
And it was something, I think, that was mutual. They sensed in us that, you know, first that we were vegetarians, and this has been confirmed from others who've written to us, that the deer sense that almost immediately. I mean, they smell, that's one of their best senses, is hearing and smell. And so they can smell that we don't eat meat. And so they don't feel threatened in that way. But at the same time, they sense that we're willing to let them be deer and not be our pets. And so they're not our pets in any way. They come into the yard, which they think of as their yard. And it was their yard long before any house was built there. And for generations, thousands of years, they were there. And, you know, these continuous families and their family units, you know, they have a matriarch, and there's one female deer that's dominant, and all the other deer will challenge her from time to time, but she always remains dominant until she gets too old. And we recognize all of these little qualities and habits that they have. And if, as Marley says, if we don't respect that, then they wouldn't come around. They wouldn't stay there. And they wouldn't feel so comfortable, you know, sleeping in the yard or, you know, eating the grass all day long or whatever they do. I have to say that I think that we get so much out of our experience with them. I realize that if I'm ever stressed out about anything, politics or you know, dealing with people and, you know, in business or whatever it may be, I can walk into the backyard. I can walk in the backyard and be with the deer, and I can't bring any of that stress with me because then they would leave immediately. They feel that. And so I know this, that when I go out there, I just let go of all of that, and I have to act like them. When we, as Marley said, we've learned to talk softly. They don't talk at all, really, or very rarely do they vocalize anything. But they communicate in all kinds of other very subtle ways, usually with the way they move their heads and the way they move their feet are the main ways that they communicate with one another. And so when we walk into the yard, if we don't walk like the deer walk, they immediately are disturbed. And they watch us, and they will move back, and if they're nervous about something, they'll be gone in a second. They can instantly disappear into the woods. And so when we first started talking to them and hanging out with them, we really had to modify our behavior and become like them. You know, they haven't become accustomed to us. It's really the other way around. And it's so wonderful to be able to be like a deer, where you're just in, you know, you're walking around with them and slowly moving, and you know, they hear something that's a mile away that we could never hear, and every deer in the yard will turn their head and look in the same direction and bend their ears in that way, and that's our cue that something's going on. They know way before we do, and we'll look in the same direction. We see nothing, we hear nothing, but they're all completely attentive. And then when they figure out what it is, if it's safe, then they go back immediately to what they were doing. And if not, you know, if they see some neighbor's dog or hear a neighbor's dog, then they're gone immediately. They just disappear. We've learned so much from them about that kind of intense awareness they have that exists so amazingly with this almost surreal peacefulness. And so this combination of awareness and peacefulness is something that's Buddhistic. It's such a high understanding of how to behave that they teach us just by us observing them.
Wow. Well, so they just introduced themselves the first day.
They did. It was the first night we were there, we were sitting on a bench overlooking the lake, and it was pitch black. The moon was new, and I had a few almonds in my pocket, and out of the darkness came Mama Rose, this giant female deer that we had seen earlier in the day, and just out of the darkness was this huge nose. I mean, they have pretty big noses. And we were both a little bit shocked, a little startled, but didn't move. And then she came right up to my pocket and was sniffing and wanted a few almonds. I thought, oh, okay. And I gave her a couple of almonds. And after that, it wasn't that I gave her the almonds. It was more that I wasn't startled and that she could sense from us that we were not a threat. And we didn't know this, but we planted clover on the lawn, and that's one of their favorite things to eat. So there was this wonderful coexistence that developed when they realized that we didn't mind if they ate everything in the yard, like in your experience. And then we would also just respect who they were. And as soon as Mama Rose figured out that we were okay and peaceful and non-threatening, then the whole family came around. All of her kids and her sisters and they didn't quite get as close as Mama Rose. They would all kind of follow her cue. And she was around for, three or four years and then disappeared. She passed on. We don't know where she went exactly, but, you know, deer live to be maybe in the wild 12 years old, about something like that. And they're pretty much adult after about a year and a half. And then her daughter, Lisa, her daughter, took over the whole clan. And then Lisa was the dominant deer for a while, and now it's Eva who's the dominant deer. Now we can get up in the morning and we go in the dining room and we see Eva standing on the porch looking in the dining room just wondering if we're awake yet.
You know, I want to mention here your wonderful Deer in the Yard calendar, which I hope is still available for people because it's only February. And my favorite picture is the February one, where is that Eva with her head through one of the hearts on the porch?
Oh yeah, right. Eva with her nose sticking through a cutout heart on the balcony wall, right?
Yeah, it's just a perfect Valentine. It's just a perfect Valentine.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's a wonderful.
Yeah, and I want to recommend people see your Deer in the Yard videos. You can just Google Deer in the Yard, right?
Right. You could actually just do, yeah, that's true. You could Google Deer in the Yard. It's all on the Pelorian website. That's P as in Paul, ELORIAN.com. And you could just go there, and there's a button, Deer in the Yard. I put those photographs up there just for our friends to see what was going on in the backyard. We knew it was unusual. But it was probably 2 months later when my web hosting company, which was a small company I'd been using for years, called me up and said, listen, we can't host your site anymore. We can't handle the traffic. There were so many people. Yeah, there were so many people going to look at Deer in the Yard at these pages we put up. We were astounded. In that first month, we had over, 300,000 visitors to that page and about 1,000 emails.
Wow.
It was astounding. So we've moved to a bigger company, so we can handle all the traffic. But I was really amazed at how touched everyone was by that interaction. And so many people really just felt that kind of peacefulness that we were feeling. And, they're just photographs, now videos, but they really speak to that kind of relationship that we could have as human beings with other human beings. It's amazing to me that all of these people write and talk about how wonderful that is, that we can be with these wild creatures who are so skittish. You know, normally you see deer in the wild, and if you make any kind of quick movement, they're gone. And so people are amazed that we can actually be with them and, you know, massage them, and you know, they're laying down, and we can come and lay down next to them. That's pretty astounding. But what's astounding to me is that we can't do that with other people. You know, it's
well, in the past, we haven't been able to, and I feel like that is the thing that the animals are teaching here. And I was just blown away to see that new video of a fawn with a kitten. Have you seen that? The fawn with the kitten? And the whole time I was watching that, the way they loved each other, the way they understood each other, the way they honored each other, I thought, why can't people with less differences than that see each other and love each other? And I feel like that's what they're teaching here. And that's what you're teaching with your lives. See, I'm not as interested the thing I'm most interested in is how people live their everyday lives. I think that makes more difference than anything, no matter what they wrote, no matter what concerts they were in, no matter what else they're known for. Do you know what I mean? It's the way... The way people are in every interaction.
Mm-hmm. And yes, that is the only thing, because we can say what we want, and, you know, if we don't act what we really think and want, you know, and want to change, that brings you nothing, you know. We really have to act, love your neighbor like yourself, you know. That has nothing to do with the Bible for me. That is a priority in this world today, you know, that we love our... But at first, of course, we have to love ourselves at first, you know. If we can't love ourselves, then we can't really love our neighbor. You know, so we have to start, that starts always inside. Inside of us is everything, you know, and when we bring love out from us, you know, that goes around the world. But I like, and I know you do too, Iris, the violet consuming flame. This is for me in the morning one of the main meditation and mantra, you know, working with the violet consuming flame, and to bring this flame inside me, around me, and around where I go. And this cleans a lot and brings love, you know. If you believe in Saint Germain or not, I don't care, but I know it helps, you know, and it brings transformation, you know.
Yes, it does. And Marlies, I didn't mean to interrupt you, my darling, but everyone that I know of that I have on the show that uses the violet flame, I ask them to explain their understanding of it, and then I ask them to call it forth the way they call it forth, and I like to ask people to participate and call with us for the whole planet.
What I do is, beside my meditation in the morning, my mantra is then, I'm the violet consuming flame in manifestation in action. So when
I'm writing that down.
You know, we have to know a little bit about Saint Germain's teaching and the violet consuming flame, but otherwise, you know, to say that mantra with this intention from our heart, you know, I'm the violet consuming flame in manifestation in action. And this is a great mantra, you know, to invoke immediately, instantly, the violet consuming flame, you know, and go with the whole flame everywhere, you know. It's not anyway good to see everywhere violet, no? In strong violet, yao, or, you know, the soft, I don't care, but violet is that color for our time, what I call our light age, you know. The new age is there really always. We have always a new age, but we are coming and we are actually in the light age, where we work with light, like what I explained, I think, last time on the show, with the brain illumination, you know, but it's important to bring light in the different components of our brain, you know, and work with that, and especially bring it in our cells, in our chakras, in our DNA, you know, RNA, all that. This is, for me, the new teaching on that planet, you know, and that leads actually to high life extension and the fountain of youth, actually, for me. And therefore, later on, further in step by step to ascension, you know. So I think this all this working with light, if it is the violet consuming flame or the brain illumination, working with different light, white light, the rainbow light, the Christ light, what is golden, so I'm a Christ being, you know. I think for every religion around our planet, we all have our praxis or how to connect to the highest source or to Father, Mother, Creator, you know. And so I like it in both, because I grew up as a Christian, and so I like it in my Christian form, and I take a little bit from the Hindus and here a little bit and here a little bit, but altogether I'm a Christian. You know, like I say, I work with Mother Mary, I work with Saint Germain, with Jesus. So this is for me the Christian lineage, and I don't have any problems with that. And I have no problems with accepting all religion, you know, all, because they all bring the people somehow to themselves, and therefore to God or whatever, and that goes around. At, you know, this connection to something higher than only material stuff. Yeah, I like my material stuff, wonderful. But there is another, something higher, that goes over the senses, you know. And that is now where we are on that planet, in this becoming higher, or going in a higher consciousness of being, you know. This whole evolution now, you know, where Barbara Marx-Havard talks about, and, you know, all this. And this is
that
very...
That who talks about?
Barbara Marx-Havard.
Say it again.
Wait, Radha says.
Yeah, she's talking about Barbara Marx-Havard.
Oh, I'm sorry. My phone's... I'm having a little trouble with my phone. You know, I want to go back to a couple things you said, Marlies. One is the brain illumination is a CD that's available on Saima's website. And would you tell how to get that?
Yeah, you can go to the website from HIU, humanityinunity.org, and you can order the DVD, and there is a whole different version of the brain illumination. And I do that since 2 years now, or nearly 2 years, and it brings, I tell you, it brings a change in my cells, in my whole being, you know, this kind of youth, this, you know, youngness or what comes out again, because through the light, you know, when we always visualize light in our brain, in our whole being, the subtle bodies, our aura, just light, you know, and in time it brings something, you know.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
I really like that, and yeah, that is a main thing that I'm doing, the brain illumination, beside my meditation.
And is this this mantra you say, I am the violet consuming flame in manifestation and action, is
yeah.
that the only way you call it forth, or do you call it forth specifically for conditions you
and
come in contact
that,
with in Earth?
I call it the violet.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, and I'm a little disoriented because I'm having an echo, so please
okay.
forgive me if I break in or do something wrong. So, but I want to say to people, whatever the violet transmuting flame comes in contact with, it is alchemy. It does not hurt anything. It does not physically burn anything. What it does is separate the dross from the gold. And
right.
Nothing positive will be consumed in the violet consuming flame. Only that which is constructive remains. And as you call it forth, you have to do it from your divine self with the authority of the Christ and ask that whatever condition you're calling forth be transmuted into something that is a blessing for all life. And that's
right.
what we, you and I and Rasa and Bastian and so many that we are working with, this is what we are aligned in, is that everything on Earth
right.
now become a blessing to all life. So would you call it forth the way you call it forth? And we want to ask people to join us and add their calls to ours. And we call all the Ascended Masters to add your calls to ours. And so, Marlise, call it forth in the way you've been taught by Saima, right?
You mean violet consuming flame, Iris?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, I sit in my meditation and the mantra I call in the violet consuming flame through my antahkarana. This is a light, kind of light tube, and invoke the violet consuming flame through the antahkarana into my brain and then into my heart, into my sacred heart. And I visualize this, and then I say the mantra, I am the violet consuming flame in manifestation, in action. And before I say this mantra 108 times, I invoke the, really with deep humility and gratitude, the violet consuming flame from Saint Germain, and really grateful that he provided us here on the planet with his violet consuming flame, that we can work with it, but consumes everything away, really, especially in our brain, fear, in our heart, fear. The whole world is full of fear. So thinking even, when I run around the house, sometimes I sing even a little. I'm the violet consuming flame in manifestation, in action. And that brings an unbelievable kind of inner centeredness, you know, from innen here, you know, there, you know, and it helps you coming through the day, coming through all that what is going on the planet, and stay in compassion and be compassion and be love. I think that is it, you know, that we are that love. We are that compassion, and when we are that consciously in awareness, we give that to other people without even that they realize that. We even change their kind of aura, you know, that we feel a kind of release, you know. Therefore, when we meet people who have a high energy, we like to be around them, you know. We like that. Ah, yeah. This wonderful, calming energy, you know. And that is what I find actually here in wild deer. You know, this calming energy, you know. They don't do anything bad, you know. Nothing. No harm. Nothing. And this, what I find, especially the connection with Saint Germain and with Jesus and Mother Mary, and of course also with my Guru Sai Ma Lakshmi Devi, but this connection, this deep connection, you know, that is enough. And we have I make this very fast. I don't sit for hours on my puja table and meditate, you know. I think it's more to bring action, to make that action, you know, and not sit there.
We may be out of time. Is that our signal that we're out of time, Don? My time device was drowned in the pool yesterday.
Are we okay?
I thought we had about two more minutes. Okay. Well, I'm gonna assume we have two more minutes. I just got a tone in my ear, but I want to be sure that we give all the ways that you can be contacted, and also that people can get the Violet Flame video and the Violet Flame CD and the Brain Illumination CD from Sai Ma. So
right.
Could you give all your websites, Rasa, and...
Sure, yeah. Yeah, let me help you out with that. You can go to Pelorian.com, which I gave before as an address. You can actually go to BBS Radio, to your page on BBS, and see all of the links for another couple days. But you can go to Pelorian.com. That's P as in Paul, E-L-O-R-I-A-N, as in Nancy, .com. And on that page, you'll see a link for Marlies' Starseed Gallery. And her website is Starseed Gallery, all one word, starseedgallery.net. And our music, you can find at starseedmusic.net. And if you want to get any information on the brain illumination, you can go to the humanityinunity.org website. And that's all one word as well, humanityinunity.org.
It's just a wonderful thing to do for yourself, a wonderful thing. And I want to acknowledge you, Rasa. Rasa is a wonderful web designer, and you have really, really... taken my work to the next level with your help on BBS and with Miracles Happen, and I'm so grateful for you, and I'm so grateful that the energy that you have is the energy I send out, you know. It's consistent. And also, you just do very beautiful work. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you guys. I got excited about several of the things you were saying. I hope you'll come back and do this again. And I want to tell people to look for Marlies Germudas, My Life from Now to Now, The Spiritual Journey of a Housewife. Look for her book. And I wanted to just ask one more thing, Marlies.
Yeah.
Is it, I am the violet consuming flame in manifestation and action, or
manifestation in action.
In action. Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Well, yeah, you're welcome. It's a very powerful mantra, Iris.
I got it. I was writing it down. That's why I wanted to know. And I And I want to invite people, if there's one thing you could do to change and heal and raise and bless everything on the planet, do that.
Yes.
Do that for the planet. And,
mm-hmm.
And love it. Love every expression of God in, upon, and above it. And I want to thank you for being here, you guys. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank Don for being the service that makes this possible. And I want to invite you to come back next Monday at 2 o'clock. And God bless you, and may all your dreams come true.